Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim has a new column this morning talking about a couple of former Gopher men's basketball coaches. Before I ask you about that, Jim, let's talk Vikings again. Since we last chatted, some more developments. First of all, the Vikings have traded back into the first round. They picked up another first-round pick. What does that tell you, Jim?
Well, they know that they need to get a quarterback. They know that they might have to trade up to get that quarterback. Having a lower first-round pick and it gives them a little more cachet. So, you know, I don't want to pretend I know exactly what they're thinking. Obviously, the easy inference is if you have the 11th pick and the 23rd pick, it means if you need to trade up to 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, you know, you might have to use that first-round pick. Yeah. And they don't have a third-round pick in this draft, so they needed more draft capital to be maneuverable. What we don't know for sure is whether they've already determined, hey, we got to trade up to 4 to get our guy, or whether they just want to have, you know, that in hand. There's also a possibility they take the best player available at 11, and then take the best of the other prospects, whether it's Nix or Penix or somebody like that, at 23rd. That carries more risk, but we really don't know what Quez is going to do. We've never seen him in this situation before.
Yeah.
So it highlights the risky situation they're in. They are amassing draft capital to take a young quarterback, knowing that the hit rate on quarterbacks, even those drafted in the first round, is very low. That's the price of letting Cousins go, is that you just don't know how this is going to turn out.
He probably doesn't know how it's going to turn out, Quasi, until draft night, right? I mean, he doesn't know if he's going to be able to get them to bite on his draft to try and trade up necessarily.
Right. And right now, we think that the first three teams are all going to take quarterbacks. So he might have to spend a lot of draft capital to move up to get McCarthy. McCarthy is the hot name right now, somebody who might go in the top 10. And then, you know, but they also might, you know, what really matters is the team's internal evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And they might really like Penix. They might really like Nix. They might think they can get him later, you know. Or they might just take the best quarterback available to 11. There's just so many possibilities still open. And as you said, those possibilities might not be resolved because you really don't know what other teams are going to do. You know, we think the top three teams are all going to take quarterbacks. It's not a guarantee. One of them might be willing to trade out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see the Patriots mm-hmm. saying we need a lot more than just a quarterback, and we're not necessarily in love with Drake May. Maybe we trade out of there, get a bunch of draft capital, and take one of the other quarters. I mean, there are just so many variables here.
It does seem as though both the Bears and Commanders have signaled their intention by getting rid of, you know, the incumbent quarterbacks to kind of clear the decks.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Commanders and the Bears are going to take quarterbacks.
Yep.
Right now, we think it's going to be Caleb Williams 1 and Jaden Daniels 2. Personally, I love Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. He's the guy I would probably lean toward, but the Bears seem to be in on Caleb Williams. Again, we'll see if that actually ends up being true.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots probably are going to take Drake May, but, you know, we just don't know what they think right now. And then the McCarthy buzz has been fascinating because he really, you know, before that championship game, a lot of people viewed him as a second-round pick, and now he might be a top-10 pick.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things to like about him. But it's also that kind of buzz and that kind of late movement that can scare you, too. Because you go, okay, did he improve in the last 2 months? Or did people just get more excited about him because they're desperate for a quarterback?
Yeah, that's just it. Quarterbacks are always drafted above their slot, above where they may be rated talent-wise by talent evaluators, because it is the most important position. But, yeah, the Vikings are in a precarious spot. Trade up to get the fourth best quarterback in the draft. That sounds risky.
It is risky, but if you don't do it, then what are you doing? You're sitting here with Sam Darnold and nobody else, and you could just be terrible for a number of years.
Yeah.
You know, and the other reality here is that people get fired very quickly these days. There's not a lot of patience. So if Quezzi has a third bad draft and the team stinks for the second year in a row and doesn't look like it really has an idea of how to improve, we might see a complete regime change, and then you might see, who knows, anything could happen at that point.
Yeah.
The danger is, and listen, we have the obvious example we can cite over and over and over. Christian Ponder was a nice college quarterback. He was the kind of guy who was going to interview well. He was athletic. He was going to look good at the combine, and he couldn't play.
Yeah.
You know, but he had the things that impressed people in the spring enough that he ended up being, you know, what, the 12th pick in the draft, I think it was.
Yep.
I mean, that is the red flag. That's what can happen. Now, I think McCarthy's better than I don't think McCarthy is Ponder. I think McCarthy's mm-hmm. better. I think he's an even better athlete. I think he has much more composure. I think he might be a really nice NFL quarterback, but again, it's still a roll of the dice.
Yep, no doubt. And it's a roll of the dice that nobody has more, you know, riding on that roll than Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell. I would think, is this going to be O'Connell's draft pick if indeed they're going QB? Is he going to have a large voice in the room on that selection?
He better. And what's fascinating about Kwesi's first two drafts is the one clear success was taking Jordan Addison. Now he's not a superstar, but I think we all saw that he can be a very good player in the NFL. He adapted very quickly. He has the talent. He has the skills. And if you remember the clip from the draft room in Kwesi's second draft, it really looks like Kevin O'Connell saying, no, don't do anything cute here. Don't trade the pick. Don't overthink it. Let's take Addison and get out of here. So it looks like O'Connell might be the better evaluator of offensive talent.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see how all that plays out. Talk about your column a little bit, Jim, with the seeding of the NCAA men's tournament yesterday. There's some familiar coaches to Gopher fans that have their teams in again.
Yes. So Dan Monson gets fired after an up-and-down run with the Gophers. He did have good moments, and he was a nice guy. Just never seemed to really love living in Minnesota. I think he was a West Coast guy. Seemed relieved to get out and go to Long Beach State and live on the West Coast, and had a pretty good career there. So this season was, you know, an okay season, but basically the school announced that by mutual decision, Monson was going to step away. They asked him to stay on through the conference tournament. He ends up winning the conference tournament. He's going to the tournament, NCAA tournament, and he seemed thrilled. And again, Dan is not – people get really mad at coaches who don't win. Dan's a nice guy. Uh-huh. You know, I'm really happy that he gets to go out this way. And then Richard Pitino. Same thing, 8 years with the Gophers, some good moments, won an NCAA tournament game, brought in Amir Coffey, brought in Jordan Murphy, had his moments. They get to a point where it feels like it's things have stalled. They fire him. He goes to New Mexico. He takes Jamal Mashburn Jr. with him. Third year, he wins a very good conference tournament, basketball conference, and now he's going to the tournament, and his team's pretty good.
Jamal, I forgot about Jamal Mashburn Jr. How did he do once he went out there?
He had a really good year last year. This year he had a bunch of injuries, so his numbers didn't look as good. But he had 21 points in the conference championship game, so he's a threat.
Yeah. Timberwolves are playing shorthanded quite a bit these days, rest of the regular season at least, without Towns. And then Gobert in and out of the lineup. Good time to have Utah on the schedule Saturday with Gobert also missing. It doesn't seem like it's anything long-term with him, though, does it?
It's a rib strain, or you know, and ribs are really delicate. They're hard. The good thing is a rib injury tends to not be serious long-term, but they tend to nag. So it's just going to be a day-by-day thing. I wouldn't be surprised. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if he took off tonight's game against Utah and then came back to the lineup tomorrow night against Denver. And the good thing is, without Towns and with Gobert in and out of the lineup, Anthony Edwards really seems to have taken responsibility for leading the team, along with Mike Conley. They've been spectacular the last few games. And, you know, Utah's not a good team. We know that. But we also know that upsets happen every day in that league, and no lead is safe. And there's every team has so much offensive talent, you can't take a night off. And I thought their performance on Saturday night was really impressive. You looked out there at times. There's T.J. Warren, there's Luka Garza, but their best players led the way.
Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.